Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So I want to thank Brian and Christy. They've been wonderful hosts, and thank them for having us out here. We went to the coast and had a great time. Since I've been here, I've been talking about what God has been speaking to me, and it's a lot about forgiveness. And he started that with me quite a few years ago, and that last song that they were singing about, that he's always been there, and I will not sing it because I cannot sing, so I'll spare you that. But he's always been there, and he has showed me that throughout my life. He has always been there for me. When I didn't realize it, when I wasn't aware of it, he was always there. He was always in the background and getting me to where I am today. And I believe that and know that. And in my heart, forgiveness has been a big thing that God has been working with me. And you don't always think that there's things you need to be forgiven of, but in my walk, I'm going to read a little scripture here that has ministered to me. It is in John 8:1, and it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes, the Pharisees, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, tempting Jesus, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote in the ground, as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up, and he said, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, in which they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. So in their mind they were pondering what Jesus was saying. Well, do I walk without sin? Can I throw this stone at this woman? And one by one, beginning with the eldest unto the last, and Jesus was left alone. They left. They were like, well, I can't do this. And the woman was standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And in that moment, he forgave her. He didn't look upon what she did. He didn't address anything. He said, Now, there is no condemnation for you. Go and sin no more. And we think about adultery, and my husband has preached on this so many times about things here. But what God has showed me is that adultery is listening to that other man. And thinking that you are joined with that other thing that tells you lies and tells you anything to get you away from what God has told you who you are in this. And when you believe that, you're in adultery to God, because you're saying, well, God's not true, and I believe this over here, and this is what I'm doing. And until God starts showing you that those are lies, you're not even aware of it. I wasn't aware of it until God started showing me. And I know now, with what God has talked to me and showed me, that I am forgiven, and that God is who I follow. God is my husband, and I love him. And those voices, they're getting less and less. I do not listen to them. And when they come up, I go to my husband, who is, you know, he is my husband in this life, but he's also an elder. So I go to him, and I discuss these things with him. And if they're wrong, he will let me know and straighten me out and put me on the right path, just as God does to each and every one of you. So I just want to encourage you to listen to your pastor. If you have questions, if you have those voices in your head and they're taking you away and separating you from these things, talk to your pastor. Go to him, and he will straighten you out. He will put you on the path that you need to go on to love God and know that God is always here for you, always in the background, doing whatever he can to get you to love him and back to his kingdom. So I just wanted to say thank you again. Happy Mother's Day to all of you, and thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Good stuff. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you very much. All right, without any further ado, I'm going to bring my friend, my buddy, my brother in the Lord here. Pastor Gary is going to come and bring us a good word here today. So are you ready? All right, let's go.
How you guys doing? It's okay if I just stay down here. I don't know if I'd hit that ceiling or not, but I'm not going to take no chances. You guys feeling good this morning in the Lord?
Amen.
I hope so. Man, we had an awesome time this week so far. So good to be here. I feel the same exact way, my friend, my brother. You know, I say quite a bit, being in the eldership is not just a blessing. It's a brotherhood. It's a friendship that sometimes you just can't quite put words to. And what I mean by that is you'd have to have been with us on the journey to really understand what that bond means, right? And so just love Brian to death and seen a lot of wonderful things in prophecy. And so I'm very excited to be here. I refer to him often as the angel of the Church of Isaiah for a reason. You guys are part of that angel, believe it or not. And I get it. Not everyone's conscious of the angelic realm. I understand those things. But we've been talking a lot this week about how those things are created, right? We spent 5 weeks talking about the seed that God sent forth that works by the spirit of prophecy. And it's that seed, which is the word of God, that creates all things. Go read Colossians. By his word were all things created. So don't take it lightly. If you were to receive a word from God, you might say, well, that didn't make me an elder, that didn't make me an apostle, it didn't make me a prophet. Ah, you didn't know that everything concerning the will of God was in that seed or in that word to you. Does that make sense? It might start off small, Jen, but it's the becoming that's exciting. And the journey of letting that word of God become in you is amazing. So I want to encourage you to continue believing God for that. But I want to read a scripture just to tie in some things here over in 2 Corinthians. I don't want to be too long today, but I'm not going to be in a rush either. Is that all right? If you got to go, you got to go, right? But we're going to spend a little time in the Word of God here this morning, if that's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've already touched on this week since we've been here, so I want to touch base with it. And by the way, happy Mother's Day to all you ladies that have given birth to babies. And man, what a bunch of babies we got around here, huh? My goodness, man. It's awesome. And some of them are really, really beautiful, and I'm trying to figure out, knowing who the parent is, how that happened. Right, Walker? Just razzing Walker, man. That's a beautiful little girl over there, and I'm like, Walker made that baby? Good day, man. That's awesome. Must be Brittany, right? All right. 2 Corinthians, I'm just teasing everybody. Just, you know, it's all good. I'm not even going after Dathan right now. My wife does that enough as it is. So let's see. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, and this includes all you ladies, okay, in the beginning he called their name Adam. Brian referenced it. Eve was the mother of all living, right? But she came out of man. She came from Adam because in the beginning they were one, okay? Awesome story, by the way, if you haven't checked that out. Therefore, if any man, so this includes you, if you be in Christ, notice, you got to be in Christ. There is a without Christ, and there is an in Christ. How many believe this morning that you are in Christ? There you go. Good testimony. Good confession. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Haven't we been talking about that this week? You say creature. Now, creature sounds, I don't know. I don't know if I like being called creature. Well, you got to understand the language of God. God is making you a new being, a new creature in Christ. You see how important Jesus is? So, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there's your becoming. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You guys realize that the elders were working constantly in the ministry of reconciliation. You know what our greatest desire? I'll tell you what my greatest desire is to bring you back to God. Above all things, bring you back to God. That's why we came. That's why we were sent here, is to bring you back to God, to move you further into the greater works of God, to put you into a greater becoming, so that seed of God doesn't grow stagnant and you don't stay asleep, or better yet, fall back into a sleep and miss out on what God has for you. We want you to continue, and for that word of God to be active and consistent, and for prophecy to continue to work in you, because there's greater and greater and greater and greater. There's no end to God, folks. There is no end to God. It gets better all the time. Our good friend, Pastor B, referenced him, Pastor Rick, really a bishop among us, right? When he was here with us, he would tell us all the time, every day is an adventure in God. Remember that rhyme? Every day is an adventure. And boy, I have found that to be true. There's not a single day now that the mind and the meditation, the imagination, does not go into prophetic things, heavenly things, to look into things that God is desirous to bring forth. Isn't that awesome, man? Now, that had to happen a little bit over time, if you will. It doesn't just happen overnight. We like for it to happen overnight. At least we think we do. But isn't there a progress to what God does here? Okay? So he said, lastly, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. There's your forgiveness, by the way, my wife spoke about. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. Man, I love that word. You know that word is apostolic. We're under an apostolic anointing, an apostolic ministry. You know that that was a mystery hidden for many long ages, and that it has now been revealed in Jesus Christ? We're dealing with things now that God's been waiting on for quite some time. What a wonderful day to live in. Isn't that awesome, Jen? So we are ambassadors by Christ, or for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray for you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. Do you see the desire of the Lord? That's our desire this morning. Be ye reconciled to God. That's what we desire for you. We desire that word that God spoke to you in the beginning would become, and that you would be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, let's go through a little journey here this morning. You guys remember in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I call it heavens in the plurality of it. That's how it's listed in the Hebrew. And then you go, Brian mentioned this yesterday, if you go to the second chapter of Genesis, all the host of the heavens were done, created, finished. God did this in the beginning, and then suddenly in verse 2, the earth was without form and void. Why was that? Let me read you guys a scripture here. I actually got to find it. I wish I was as sharp as Brian was sometimes remembering all these scriptures, but I got the Bible, so I'm good with that. Psalms 104, verse 30. Listen to this. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. All of a sudden,
We've got this earth without form and void. You guys remember the parable where they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, you sowed the good word of God, but while men slept, an enemy came in and sowed some tares. Now, they didn't know it was an enemy at first. They presented this question to the Lord, and the Lord said, yeah, the sower went forth to sow. He sowed the good word of God, and then overnight, while men slept, an enemy came in, Jen, and sowed tares. The Lord identified for them that an enemy had done this. When you're looking here, and this is just my perspective on some things in some things the Lord and I have talked about. When you're looking here at the creative work of God, did God have to renew some things here? Is that possible? That in the beginning, God created everything and it was perfect? You guys remember the anointed cherub. He was perfect in the day he was created. Was he without form and void? No, he was full of wisdom. Something happened, though, didn't it, to cause this earth to become a wasteland? Are we at times, when we begin to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, do we wake up and we're looking around and everything's a mess? Everything's a wasteland. Everything's like, my God, what happened? Did you guys ever come to that in this life? Did you ever wake up and go, my God, my life is a mess? I've got curses running amok. I don't understand what happened. I don't know why I'm so full of lust. You're looking at your life and you're like, man, I am a complete mess. I need God. Mm-hmm. I need God. Who did this to me? An enemy. An enemy did this. But thanks be to Jesus Christ, when the word of God comes into effect into your life, what does God begin to do for you, Jen? He begins to renew you. David was wonderful in this prayer. In, I believe it's Psalms 51. Maybe we should go over there and read it. Walker, you want to read for me?
Yeah.
Find where David prays the prayer. I believe there's two aspects of this. Renew in me a right spirit. You guys understand that the creative work of God is a renewing? It's taking what was, because that's the revelation of Jesus Christ, Julie. The revelation of Jesus Christ is concerning that which was, which is, and which is to come. Where are you at in prophecy? Do you guys know? Do you know where you're at? Or could you actually have a move of God working in you that could deal with all three at the same time? Is that even possible? Or could God take you back to that which was what was, deal with you a little bit there, show you the past, because the past is required, right? You can't move forward without God addressing the past. What I'm simply saying to you is God sometimes has to talk to you about the fall. He has to talk to you about your past. We think we fell in this life. You're in a manifestation of a fall in this life because of something that took place in that beginning in God, Carrie. Does that make sense? Why are you here? To remember that. To come to that. To know that. Did you find that, Walker?
Psalms 51 and verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God.
Wait, create in me a clean heart. Hold on now. Is this David praying from a perspective of something that has never been? Or is he asking God, bring me back. Create in me what was. There was a time, God, when I loved you and I served you. But what happened to David? David took his ease, didn't he? When he should have been out to battle, he was walking one night on the balcony. He was king. Now, you guys remember the story, right? This guy was a young, skinny, red-headed lad out in the wilderness tending to his father's sheep. And when the prophet Samuel come along and said, I've got to anoint one of your sons. What was his name? Jesse? David's father's Jesse? He said, I got to anoint one of your sons king. And so Jesse lined them up, man. And the first son was, he was tall and good looking. And Jesse assumed, oh, this guy be the one. This guy be the one, man. This is the guy. He looks like a king. And Samuel comes to him and says, nope, the Lord's not with this one. To be king, that is. And he moves down the line. And you know what Samuel ended up saying? He's not here. What? Well, I only got one son left, and you don't want him. He's a run of a thing. He's out there tending the sheep. And God said in Samuel, he said, no, go get him. Go fetch him. And his brothers are all looking at each other. Huh, what is going on? See, God moves in mysterious ways. God doesn't always do it like we think he should do it, does he? God knows what he's doing. One of our elders, Dave Lowry, up in Boise, I'm going up to see him next week. We were on a recent call, and he ended our call by saying something that really ministered to me. He said, you know, Gary, God is always right. And I was like, amen, God is always right. You know how many times I thought I was right? And I was not right. And you know what the worst is? Is when you think you're right, and your wife is actually right, and your wife tells you that you're wrong, and you say, Mike, oh, that's not, that's not possible. And sometimes you're so stubborn and egotistical that you'll walk away, you know, basically saying, woman, just, you know, go pound sand or something and leave me alone. I'm right. And then you, when you get in deep meditation, you're like, I'm wrong. I got to crawl back now and say, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Right? Or you could just repent and start living the right way. Interesting stuff. But anyway, Jesse now is requiring his sons to go get David. They go get him, and he stands before the Lord. And Samuel takes this huge horn, and he anoints David. He pours the oil over David's head. It's like the oil that flowed down Aaron's beard, man. This is what happens when God begins to create in you something that is going to become a kingdom, man. This is so awesome. And David is anointed king. But it's funny enough, throughout all the process of time, Saul was made the first king. And many times David tried to just walk in the faith that God had him in. But Saul hated David because the people elected Saul. God only allowed Saul to be king because it was the heart of the people. They were so stubborn. Israel was so stubborn. He said, I want to be your king. God did. I want to be your king. And the people said, no, we want a man. And so God gave them a man named Saul. And Saul was wicked, man. The guy even prophesied at one time when he came into contact with the prophets. He prophesied the word of the Lord. The spirit of the prophets came on and he prophesied the word of the Lord. We think sometimes we get these quickenings and these revelations and we think they're of God. And sometimes we got an enemy at work and we haven't put our finger on it. But nonetheless, David, now king, come to a point where he had opportunity to kill the present king, being Saul. But the Lord rose up in him and said, don't you touch my anointed. David did everything right until he did something really wrong. And when he was up on that balcony, he saw Bathsheba. And she was showering herself or bathing or whatever the case might be. And lust filled his heart and he had to have her. I'm being selective here, right? Because I know we got big ears in a small cornfield, as my brother says. And people are listening, right? Little ones are listening. But he takes Bathsheba, ends up killing her husband, Uriah, murdering this woman's husband so that he could have her, ends up having a child by her. The child ends up dying even after David petitions the Lord. Sin entered into the heart of David. And you know, when it was all revealed, Nathan the prophet comes, gives him the word of the Lord and says, you are the man. David was so angry at the parable, Nathan said. But when he come to understand that it was him who had sinned against God, you know what David said? God, I have sinned against you. That's my sin. Not against Israel. I sinned against you. See how he put God first? Now let's read this. So he's now praying to be reconciled to God, because that's all that matters to David now.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Did you hear that? An enemy has done this. So now God says in his heart, time to renew. Time to take it from a wasteland and create paradise. Create the heaven again. Create this thing all over again. and make it right. Take what the enemy did and make it clean. The thing that is defiled, the thing that was made unclean. You know, Jesus talked about that parable concerning an unclean spirit. When it goes out of a man, what's it do? It goes and looks through dry places for a place to rest and finds none. Eventually, it comes back to the house that it was cast out of. And if it finds that house swept and garnished, what's it do, Jen? It goes and gets seven more. Is that your seven abominations? Are these the things that worked in the book of Revelation in the seven churches? You see the progression here? We talked about the serpent the other night, the Bible study. There's a lot of things. And I'm not telling you these things because we got to start, you know, looking for devils behind every bush. That's not the case. I'm going to tell you very simply. If you've got unclean thought in you, you know what the best thing for you is? Go submit to that man of God right over there and listen to the word of God, because Jesus himself said, now are you clean through the washing of the water of the word that I have spoken unto you. The word of God will cleanse you. The word of God will renew you. We're not too worried about the devil himself or the serpent that works at times, because he's only got a short time to work. He's ordered of God to do what he does now. But Jesus Christ openly put him to shame when Jesus died on that cross. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, everything Satan could possibly muster to prevent Jesus being the overcoming king that he is now, he failed at Calvary to do so. They killed the king of the ages. And if they had known, Paul said, they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it. See, the devil isn't as smart as you think he is. He doesn't even understand sometimes that what he's actually working, the plot he's working against you, Jen, is going to actually turn to your good. And if he really figured that out, do you think he would do it? Sometimes we don't really see the end from the beginning, do we? We have to trust God in the journey, don't we? Step by step, line by line, precept by precept. But here's the fact. David come to an end of himself. And David prayed the right prayer. You guys realize that you're only one right prayer away from entering into the entirety of the creation of God. You go one church, two church, all the way through the seventh church, being the church of the Laodiceans. When Jesus approached this entity, he was considered the beginning of the creation of God. Do we even understand that regardless of our fall, regardless of our sin, that Jesus Christ has now come with one intent, to reconcile you back to God? We can linger too long in the aspect of sin in our fall, can't we, Julie? We can linger too long sometimes in what we did wrong. What about accepting what Jesus has done and allowing that to move us forward and fulfilling every word of prophecy that God has spoken over us? What about that? Does there come a time when we can put those sins behind us? See, when David reached this place, David was humble. David knew now, I was king, but I was not everything I thought I was. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when you come to that place, when you come to the place where you realize your ego, your pride, the thing that actually caused the fall of that anointed cherub, the preeminent thing, was arrogance, the pride that he worked in. But then there were seven abominations, wasn't there? That took place, believe it or not, over dispensations of time and eternity. But as that angel fell, we see the story of Adam. God created Adam. He actually brought Adam into play, and he formed him from the dust of the ground. And this is the beauty of what God did. God breathed into him the breath of life. So when you talk about this creative work of God, this new creature, what does God have to do? Does he have to breathe into you? And you say, hold on now, I don't want to be Adam. Why? What if I told you some of you already are? Is that a bad thing? Can you look ahead at what Adam became? That's what I want you to do. You might say, whoa, I'm in Adam. You know, if you're in Adam, you're in good and evil. Good, evil, good, evil, good, evil. You ever up one day, Julie, and down the next? Don't you want to get out of that? Do you realize that when you come to the last Adam, that you come out of good and evil, and you're baptized into good? It's just good. Now, you got to discern what I'm saying here. You say, well, how's that possible? There's still evil in the world. Absolutely. They killed Jesus. But you look over at this man of God sitting in that chair. If I told you that he's walking in an anointing of a Christ, he's not walking in Adam anymore. He's been born out of Adam. He's been born again. Do you realize in the world that God has set in his heart that there's still enemies there, but not in the Son? Do you understand what I'm saying? In this world, Jesus came into this world. He was born of God in this world. The angel Gabriel, speaking to Mary, prophesied the word of the Lord. He sowed the seed that would become the Emmanuel. He's an L. Man, if you're an L, I'm going to tell you right now, you got some good things of God going on. Because you got the Gabriel, you got the Michael, you got a lot of L's, man. But the greatest L of all is the Elohim, the God of all gods, Deuteronomy says, the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. My point is simple. When you've got this world, the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes in this world and the Son of God is born. What did I tell you the other night? The whole earth groaneth and waiteth for the manifestation of the what? The sons of God. Do you realize this morning I'm prophesying to you that there's a Son of God that the Lord desires to come up in you? A Christ. That's what God's doing. You say, no, I'm just talking to Brian just to counsel through all the hardships of this life. Not if you're listening. He's prophesying into you the anointed word of God. The same thing that God did for him, he's doing for you by laying on of hands, by impartation, by prophetic utterance. Amen. That's what God's doing. You will, well, sometimes he's not such a nice guy. I got news for you, man. Sons of God are peculiar. Sometimes they're downright odd and weird. You hang with me long enough, you'll find fault with me, I promise you. But you got to get past this to get to my angel, man. And if you get to my angel, we're going to sow the creative works of God into you. That's what we're going to do. You guys okay? Awesome. What you got there? A Mother's Day card for your mom? Nice kid, man. The word of the Lord is all important. When that word of God comes to you, it gives you choice, doesn't it, Carrie? You could choose life or you could choose death. I remember, man, there's been so many wonderful experiences and visitations of God when the Lord began to deal with me. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest. Rick and I were walking up in Boise one time, and he's like, Gary, the first time I went into your temple and I saw you sitting on your throne, he said, my God, man, the greatest religious pride I had ever seen. And I was like, Rick, I know, man. I know. God showed it to me. And it wasn't a conversation of condemnation. It was a conversation of rejoicing because of what God had done. Only God can do an overcoming like that, Julie. Only God can. But then, hasn't your angel already cast that dragon out? That's the word of the Lord, isn't it? But sometimes we got to come to that, don't we? Sometimes we have to come into that consciousness and learn how to walk in that. That's what God's doing to us prophetically. What time did I start here this morning? Anybody know? 5 till. Don't lie, Daryl. 5 minutes ago, Daryl said. But actually, it was 5 till. So 25 minutes. Okay. We're not going to be long. So, what is God doing in you? Has there been prophecy over your life? Has there been the word of the Lord to you? How many can say, yep, I have received the word of the Lord, and that prophecy now is ordering out my steps? Let me show you something beautiful. When the word of the Lord came, guess what I did? I started realigning my life. I know Brian's done the same thing. We all have. If you're an elder, you this is what you do. Every choice now, every decision, it all moves toward that prophetic will of God. Every life choice, every life decision now. It's not that you can't have fun in this life. We just did. We went out to the coast for a couple days. It was awesome. Overcast, both full days. It was great. I loved it. So we're out there chilling, relaxing, just really becoming a mental vegetable, because that's what happens, you know. And it was great. It was very therapeutic. But you go out there and you just meditate in the things of God. But when you start coming into the Word of the Lord, when the Word of God begins to activate prophecy in you, all of a sudden your desire changes, your will changes. That's important. Now, I'm going to use a word that you probably won't find in the scripture anywhere in any version whatsoever, but there's an evolution, if you will. There's a growing up, if you will. There's a becoming, if you will. So God may start it in the Adam, but all of a sudden as you progress, you're receiving all these visitations of the prophets, right? Just look at the way the scripture is ordered out. Adam was never alone. He always had the word of God visit him, even after he had been disobedient and sinned against the Lord. Eve being deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Adam just straight up disobeyed the commandment of God. And sometimes we just got to stop lying to ourselves and say, God, you know what? I screwed up. I disobeyed you. You're right. I'm wrong. It's that simple. And then guess what? That forgiveness kicks in. And then you begin to see yourself in prophecy. Anybody ever see the Lord? What if I told you when you see the Lord, you're seeing your future self? What if I tell you that when you see that new creature, you're seeing your future self? You know, when you go to Revelation 4, man, the description of those living creatures are pretty amazing. Creatures with four faces, six wings. They're in the throne. They're around the throne. How's that possible? See, you go into the realm of God, it becomes a very different existence. Things that weren't possible, things that are not possible here become possible there. Have you ever thrown an axe head into the water and made it float here in this life? Not going to happen. I mean, I'll go out there with you. If you're determined enough, I'll go. Let's get an axe head this morning. There's some water around here somewhere. We'll throw that axe head in the water, and I'll sit there and watch you pray and call on God. If that don't work, let's go outside in the parking lot, call down fire from heaven. Come on now. I'm telling you, in the realms of God, things are a little different than they are here. You may not be able to raise axe heads in the water here, but the prophet Elijah did, didn't he? It was Elijah or Elisha. Also, he was the same one that called down fire from heaven and consumed the prophets of Jezebel. My God, man, took their heads at the river Kishon, I believe. When they couldn't call fire, the prophet of God did. My point is simple. God's realm is very different than who we are here in this life. And I'm not saying that God isn't in this life by any means, shape, or form. I am telling you, though, that when you begin to turn inward and you begin to look to spiritual things, God will show you amazing things. That's what I'm telling you. And so you want to let that prophetic word of God go deep. You want to let it create in you God's will in you, God's desire in you. And I promise you, everything you decide to do from that day forth will be centered on God's will. You will make life-changing decisions. That's what Brian did when they moved from Chicago to come out here to Visalia. That was a God choice, wasn't it, B?
Yes, sir.
That wasn't just Brian's choice. I'm not saying he didn't want to do it, but he did it because that was a God choice, Julie. And thank God for you that he did, right? Thank God for all of you that he did. Actually, I'm thankful that he did, because as you increase, as Brian increase, I increase. You see how that works? We're all one together. We're one of another. Isn't that awesome? Jesus Christ. Well, I want to know who's the best. Who's the best preacher? Who's the best teacher? Forget all that garbage, man. This is all about Christ. This is about the anointing. This is about looking back to what the enemy did and rejoicing in what Jesus did. And when that enemy, you notice, and I'm closing, you notice that going back to that parable for a moment, Jesus said, an enemy has done this. And they said, well, okay then, you want us to go get those tares, Lord? You want us to go rip them up? Isn't that what we like to do? No, you don't understand. Leave them be, Jesus said. Leave them be. Leave Adam be. You guys remember the guy named Saul that eventually became Paul? And I could call him either one. It wouldn't make no difference to me because in the book of Acts, even after the Holy Ghost, after he's entered into the gospel, there were times that he was still referred to as Saul. It didn't make no difference. It was the anointing that made the difference. Paul was an anointed man of God, having been the great man of sin. And you think about it for a minute. And we have Paul among us. We have Paul among us. That means a man, men, spirit of, when you look at where they've come from and what God has done for them to bring them to where they are right now, amazing. Only Jesus can do that. So sometimes we like to fix Adam. We like to try to fix Adam. That's not how the new creature works. Adam is the old. Adam's the thing that's going to pass away. What's going to become is that first Adam is going to become the last Adam, which is Christ. That which is earthly is going to become that which is what? Spiritual, heavenly. Isn't that what we're telling you here this morning? That you say, well, I've got a lot of carnal thought. I got a lot of earthly thought. Hold on. Don't spend too much time chasing that. Let it be. Let it grow together. Why? Because you got to trust the prophetic word of the Lord. You got to trust that what God has said to you will come to pass. Guess what's going to happen? At the end of the age, what's God going to do? He's going to send the reapers. You said angels. Love it, because it's one and the same. He's going to send the reapers. And what are those angels going to do, Jen? Uh-huh. So didn't Brian preach on the judgment of the Lord not too long ago? So when you come into the day of the Lord, guess what God's going to do first? He's going to reveal that great man of sin. Isn't that what 2 Thessalonians dealt with? That the day of the Lord shall not come except there first be a great falling away. So you're going to visit the fall. And that man of sin must be revealed. That man of sin is going to come forth in you, and you're going to see him as he is. And all of a sudden, you're going to look at that joker. You're going to be like, wait, you're the one? You're the one that deceived me? You're the one that caused me to leave my first love? You're the one? You're going to see him as he is, and God's going to put a spotlight on that joker, and you're going to be like, you're the enemy. You're my enemy. He ain't going to be a friend no more. Ain't going to be a familiar spirit no more. Ain't going to be a lying divination spirit that's deceived you no more. He's going to be the enemy that he is. And God's going to make separation. Oh, that might mean that you begin to work through the days of creation. And God separates light from darkness. And one by one, day by one, church by church, God brings you to the Christ. You guys with me? I hope I didn't go too deep here, too much over your head, but I'm telling you right now, if you simply believe what I'm about to tell you next, you just be patient and you let the word of God, the prophetic word of God, do what it was sent to do, you're going to be just fine. Amen? Amen? How many wants to be a new creature in Christ? Amen. I want you to confess with me this morning, by prophecy, I am that new creature. Come on. I am that new creature. God bless you guys this morning. Who's taking this?
Jennifer.
I told you guys to be ready this morning, right? Did you hear the truth? Whatever you heard, you walk in that. You believe that. You don't have to understand it, like we said. Just believe it, because there was some awesome stuff there. That was truth. That was sent from God to each and every one of us. Amen. So walk in that. And when God quickens something to you, because he's going to, if you believed it, he will, talk to these men over here. Take it back to them. Give them your tithe, and God will give you more. It's faith to faith, right? So believe it. Walk in it. And make sure when you do hear that word, like I said, you take it back to an elder. You take it back to God. You confess that, right? We're saved by that, so confess that. Very, very good. So go ahead and don't forget Bible studies this week. We've got tomorrow, last chance to see Gary. So sleep on this tonight. Meditate in this. Tomorrow night, we can take it right back to him. Take it right back to the Lord, and you'll get an increase. So amazing. Again, happy Mother's Day. Don't forget Bible studies this week. And go love on your mamas, right? Thank you.